You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 13th of December 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I do still have a cold. I'm not up to 100%. You could probably tell that from yesterday's podcast, but hopefully I'll be okay again today. But it do give me a little bit of leeway. I am not up to my usual healthy standards. Today, I want to talk about an investigation that has been done in between a link between violent crime and immigration. And this particular investigation has taken place in Sweden, but we see the same problems happening in all white countries, America, New Zealand, Australia, Europe, all the countries that were traditionally white and have now had a significant part of the white population replaced by non-whites. All of these countries, we see an uptick in violent crime. And of course, people have been saying, well, this is linked to this immigration policy. If you have an open borders policy, crime seems to go up. What is the reason for this? Well, there could be two possible reasons for it. It could be that the people that are coming in happen to have a propensity for violent crime. And we see when we do look at the statistics of the countries that these people are coming from that, yes, indeed, they do have higher crime rates. We also have the fact that there are more potential victims in multicultural areas than they would be if they were homogenous areas. And what I mean by that is it is far more difficult to carry out a crime against your own family than it is to carry out a crime against somebody from another family. So, of course, we're not saying that all newcomers to our countries are criminals, far from it. But there will be a certain number that are, and they will find that it is easier for them to carry out their crimes in a multicultural country than it would be in their homeland. Because if they were to try doing that in their homeland, they would be identified straight away. There would be far more of a chance of them actually getting caught. And also they might not want to carry out the crime so much if it was against a member of their extended family. And of course, we've had police that have drawn links to this, particularly in Sweden, that have said this increase in violent crime and gang crime, it's related to newcomers that have not become settled enough yet in Sweden. They haven't assimilated enough yet. But would that prevent the crime anyway? I mean, just because they identify as being Swedes or they learn to speak Swedish, they're still going to find it easier to carry out a crime against a Swede than they are going to find it to carry out a crime against a Somalian. So I don't think that this assimilation argument holds up when you look at it. So let's have a look at the details here. It's from a website called realclearinvestigations.com. They say violent crime is becoming common in Sweden. Shocking, residents of the famously placid Scandinavian nation where horrific acts of violence have become all too familiar, according to Common Sense Media, part of a Swedish non-profit organisation. And it is shocking that this is happening in Sweden. If you think back 40 or 50 years ago, Sweden hardly had any crime at all. And now it's one of the worst places for violent crime. Bombings, shootings, gangland murders, all sorts of horrific crimes are taking place in Sweden. Since 2018, Swedish authorities have recorded an estimated 500 bombings, while what they describe as gang shootings have become increasingly common. The country reported a record 124 homicides in 2020, and many residents were shocked in April when violent riots injured more than 100 police officers. I mean, that's quite incredible, 500 bombings since 2018. I mean, it's surprising enough that you would get one bombing in a European country, let alone 500 of them. I mean, I can recall we had the 7/7 bombs here in Britain. That was probably about 10 years ago, but I can't think of any others that have taken place since then. And yet you have this massive number here, 500 bombings taking place in Sweden. Sweden's crime spike is not an anomaly in Europe, as homicides have risen during the last decade across the European Union, from Hungary and Germany to Denmark and Finland. And that's interesting because Hungary has tended to reject the immigration policy of the EU. They've built a big border fence, and anybody that tries to break into Hungary gets turned back. So perhaps there may not be a link with immigration that has caused this increase in crime in Hungary, but there certainly seems to be a link between it in Sweden. An analysis of European Union and United Nations crime data by Real Clear Investigations shows that, as in Sweden, the broader crime wave is strongly correlated with immigration. So they've looked at these other countries and they're saying that it is linked to immigration, but I don't see how it can be with Hungary, unless you're talking about European immigrants that have gone to Hungary and that have been involved in crimes. I mean, that is possible. I mean, you're still going to get that same increase of victims if you're a white person and you're criminally minded and you're living in another white country. It's still going to be easier for you to pick on the members of the other country than it will be to pick on your own people. So perhaps that's what's happening in Sweden. Perhaps they've got Russian criminals there, or Polish criminals, maybe the Italian mafia, or something like that, rather than the traditional Muslim gangs that we might be thinking of when we hear this sort of information. The country-level data for EU countries keeps track of immigration data that allows you to look at many different places over time in a way that we simply aren't able to do, looking across US states, said Carl Moody, an economics professor at William and Mary College, who specializes in criminology. So this is a part of this as well. We can be more detailed when we investigate these things, when we're looking at Europe. And they're not able to do that so well over in the United States. But I do think that they tend to have more crime data that is related to ethnicity in America. It's very difficult to find crime data that is linked with ethnicity in Britain, for instance. We know from looking at the FBI statistics that blacks are 5 times more likely to be involved in violent crime and murders and things like that, for their percentage of the population. And that is a famous statistic that comes from the FBI statistics, which are released once a year. And if you go to amren.com, you will find all the information there, that the FBI statistics that they release every year. And Jared Taylor is pretty good at correlating it with immigration. Criminal justice experts say that the precision offered by European data may provide guideposts to the United States as it grapples with a host of pathologies, ranging from rising violent crime and mass shootings to social disruptions from the coronavirus pandemic. Europe's experience suggests one avenue of inquiry for policymakers and criminal justice experts is crime directly tied to immigration and drug trafficking across the porous US-Mexico border. Interesting again that they describe this as a pathology. They're sort of describing it with a medical term, as if these people just have a disease which encourages them to carry out crime. There are all sorts of social factors that can influence crime, as well as a predisposition to crime, an inherited predisposition to crime. I mean, we learnt at the turn of the last century that lifetime criminals went in families. And if you had a career criminal, the chances were that his father would be a career criminal and that his grandfather would also be a career criminal. We know that there are certain genes which correlate with extremely violent individuals. And this particular gene we do find mainly amongst black people. We also know that a lower average IQ is also correlated with crime. You're more likely to carry out crimes if you have a lower average IQ. But I'm not sure if it's the lowest average IQ. I think it's sort of halfway, around about 85. So you have people that still have enough intelligence to be quite, use their wits to carry out these crimes, rather than people that have an IQ of about 70, where they don't have the wits to carry out the crimes. It's not as if it's the people with the lowest IQ that are always going to be the ones most likely to carry out the crimes. From what I can recall reading, it's mainly about 85, which of course is the average IQ of the African American. And that's because they have a significant amount of European DNA as well as black African DNA. And that significant amount of European DNA, it raises their IQ level, but it also might increase their anger and their tendencies towards violence, because they're a mixed race individual then, rather than just being black African. And that's something that needs more research doing, because I do think you tend to get more violence in some cities in America than you do in places in Africa, where they have homogeneous communities. Of course, there is also a lot more war and terrorism that also goes on in Africa. But there are parts of Africa that do not have these sorts of problems. Currently, however, crime statistics in the US generally do not allow researchers to make definitive conclusions on how much illegal immigrants may have influenced the rise in violent crime. Because of the political sensitivity of the question, almost no state officials keep track of the immigration status of prisoners in their jails. And that's interesting that they're drawing a link there with illegal immigration. And of course, if it's illegal immigration, then that means that that immigrant has broken the law of the country to get into the country in the first place. So they're starting out on a criminal footing before they do anything else. They have already criminalized themselves by breaking into the country. So you could say that that shows a propensity or a predisposition to carrying out crimes. And it's not just the illegal immigrants that carry out these crimes and are responsible for this increase in violent crime. It's just immigration itself that causes it. I think a lot of the people that are now in our prisons, they came here perfectly legally, and they may be second generation or third generation from immigrant families. Over the 10 years from 2012 to 2021, about 41 million people emigrated to the European Union, and of those, about 3.8 million, or over 9%, are estimated to have done so illegally. That's rather a lot, isn't it? 10% of the immigration there, they're basically saying, is illegal immigration. Sweden's largely legal influx of newcomers averaged nearly 130,000 a year from 2012 to 2019, before the country began curtailing immigration in 2020. And I think over here in Britain, we recently heard that a million visas were given out. And of course, visas are being given out for legal immigration. And it doesn't necessarily mean that one visa goes to one individual. They could be family visas. There could be a visa for somebody to bring in their brothers, their sister, their mother. We know this is what's going on with the student visas, particularly from Nigeria. I think we had a lot of Nigerian families that have come over here supposedly to accompany the one member of their family that is a student. And we also have a similar problem there with India. And I'm not so sure that Nigerians are really that linked to crime, or Indians. It seems to be the people that have actually been in the country for one or two generations that tend to get involved in these crimes. We also have Muslim gangs that tend to get involved in these sorts of things. But it's rare that you hear of Hindu violent crime or Hindu violent crime gangs. Former Swedish Prime Minister Magdalena Andersson has said the country's growing problems of gangs and violence are due to its failure to integrate foreign-born residents, whose numbers have doubled during the last two decades to about 2 million people, or almost 20% of the total population. So Sweden must have, obviously, there are about 10 million people that live in the country, and a fifth of them are of foreign extraction. And this is the way they look at it. They say, oh, well, this problem has come about because we just haven't integrated them enough. We haven't got them speaking Swedish, and we haven't got them wearing Swedish traditional clothes. And I mean, it doesn't matter how much you tell them that they are Swedes, they can still see that they're not actually from the same people group as the Swedes are. And the ones that are criminally minded are always going to find it easier to carry out these crimes on people from another people group. They're always going to find it easier to carry out these crimes against the Swedes. I mean, that is the nature of multiculturalism. So even if you did manage to integrate them, it wouldn't solve the problem, would it? You would still be having this completely different people group living within your territory, and all the problems that causes. Sweden's intelligence chief, Linda H. Staff, told the BBC in 2019 that many of the perpetrators of crime share a similar profile. They have grown up in Sweden, and they are from socio-economically weak groups, socio-economically weak areas, and many are perhaps second or third generation immigrants, she said. So this confirms this this idea that these gangs are made up of people of foreign extraction that have actually been living in the country for some time, rather than people that have just moved to the country from Nigeria, say. I mean, if they've come from Nigeria, they're probably very pleased that Sweden is such a well-ordered, peaceful, quiet place. But then by the time they have their children or their children's children, they're used to living in Sweden. They can see that they are a different group than this other group that is there. And why wouldn't they want to take from the other group that is there? I mean, it's just a natural desire, isn't it? Why would you want to take the resources from your own group if you're able to take the resources from another group and use their resources up? I think that's the way that this is looked at. I think it's quite instinctual, to be honest. They're going to care more for their own people than they are going to care for the other people groups that are there. RCI collected homicide data for the European Union from the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime for 11 years, from 2010 to 2020, and compared it to rising percentages of each country's foreign-born population. Even after accounting for variations among countries, the data show that each 1 percentage point increase in immigrant population is associated with a 3.6% increase in the homicide rate. But of course, correlation may not necessarily be causation, and that's what people will point out to with this. They'll say, yes, well, you can see that crime is going up and you can see that immigration is going up at the same time, but are the two linked together? And that's when you have to look at things like the average IQ, what the crime levels are like for the individual people groups in the countries that they have come from. And I'm not sure whether the people that have done this study have actually done that, or whether they are just pointing out that there is this correlation between an increase in crime at the same time as there's an increase in immigration. These results are consistent with other studies in various European countries, showing that immigrants, as a group, commit crime at higher rates than the native-born population, said Tino Senandraji of the Institute for Economic and Business History Research in Sweden. So that sounds like it's actually an Indian lady that is commenting there. And it seems what they're saying there is they're actually looking at the specific crimes that have been carried out by immigrants. So they're not just looking at the increasing crimes and saying, well, there's been a lot of immigration at the same time, but they're actually looking at the statistics for these violent crimes and specifically who it is that is carrying out these crimes. And that's where the correlation is. That's where they have found that the government's immigration policy has a direct influence on a country's violent crime rate. Despite the European Union's population being over one third larger than America's, the estimated 3.8 million illegal entrants over 10 years is less than the estimated 5 million illegal immigrants who have entered the United States since President Biden took office less than 2 years ago. And I think you also have to add there that guns are much more easier to get hold of in America. So I think that could be a reason why there's more of this violent crime that takes place over there. But guns are fast becoming very easy to get hold of in Sweden. There's a lot of gun crime that's going on there. And I suspect with all these weapons that are being poured into Ukraine, a lot of those are going to make their way onto the European gangster underground. Homicides across the European Union rose by about 8% between 2019 and 2020, with Germany and Hungary experiencing 25% increases. Again, the anomaly here is Hungary, because that really hasn't had a lot of non-white immigration. And that it tends to imply that this may not be to do with race at all. It's just to do with different ethnicities. Because to me, it looks as if the people that are carrying out these crimes in Hungary, that they're going to be Europeans, European criminals. So it's not that if you just have people from a different race that come into your country, but even if you have people that are part of the same race that you are, but they have a different ethnicity, there's still going to be this increase in crime. And that tends to give evidence to my theory, doesn't it? That multiculturalism itself causes an increase in crime, because there is more potential victims. Even if these victims are part of the same race as you, if they are a different ethnicity, then they are going to make easier pickings to carry out crimes. Sweden's rose by 11%. Homicides rose by 11% just in 1 year. Rising crime emerged as a key political issue there and elsewhere, contributing to September victories in Sweden and Italy by more conservative parties that made crime a key plank in their platforms. And another problem with actually getting these statistics and getting these figures is when you have somebody that is of foreign extraction that has moved to Sweden, but then their citizenship is as a Swede. And then that's going to skew the numbers, isn't it? Because you're going to look at that and you're going to say, well, that's a Swedish person that has carried out this crime. But in actual fact, it's somebody of foreign extraction that has carried out that crime. So I guess they must have found some way of compensating for that. I know one of the ways that they can collect these statistics is to look for the actual names. Because if you have groups from, say, Pakistan, they are almost likely to have names like Muhammad. So if you see lots of Muhammads appearing in the crime statistics, but you don't actually have any breakdown by ethnicity or race, then you can tell that's going to be Muslims, isn't it? Because they're all called Muhammad. And I do believe there was somebody that went through all the Swedish rape statistics to gather whether it was being carried out by ethnic Swedes or whether it was being carried out by others. And the way that they did that was just by looking at the names. Rising crime emerged as a key political issue there and elsewhere, contributing to September victories in Sweden and Italy by more conservative parties that made crime a key plank in their platforms. I mean, everybody can see that there has been this increase in crime. They can see that the immigration policy is what has led to that increase in crime, and that is what has led to this historic change in the politics in Sweden. I think they'd had the Social Democrats have been in power for about 100 years, and they were finally toppled by this right-wing coalition. It remains true that the vast majority of foreign-born residents and their children are not engaged in crime, but the evidence shows many of the victims of crime are also newcomers. In some instances, they have been victimised by native-born residents who resent their presence, and criminologists say this backlash should be classified as immigration-related crime. The violent riots that occurred across Sweden in April, for example, occurred after a Swedish-Danish anti-Islamist and his followers burned the Quran at a rally. Again, this tends to bear out my theory here, doesn't it? It's saying that white people that are more predisposed to carry out crimes are going to be carrying out the crimes against the non-whites, and vice versa. And they're saying that this should still be classed as immigrant-related crime because it would not have taken place if it hadn't been for the immigration policy. Rising murder rates in Europe are dwarfed by those in the United States, where cities such as Philadelphia, Chicago, St. Louis, and Los Angeles record hundreds of homicides every year. Homicides in the US are also much more highly concentrated in tiny areas compared with Europe, with over half of all US murders occurring in just 2% of its counties. But Europe has long had much higher overall violent crime rates than the US. And that's interesting, isn't it? All this crime is taking place in these particular small areas in America. And when you look at them, they are areas that are majority black. If you look at areas that have a lot of poverty, white areas in Appalachia, they don't have anywhere near the crime that you see in the black areas like Detroit. So you can see that it's not poverty that causes this. We just have people that are more likely or less likely to carry out crimes. And as it says here, you know, that the largest victims are also from these other races. I mean, if you look at the black on black murder rate, I mean, it's quite horrific. I mean, it's very high. They do end up killing each other more often than they do actually end up killing white people. European media reports and government spokespeople are often circumspect about the problem. They repeatedly attribute much of the crime to gangs, the membership of which is rarely spelled out, and gun violence among unlabeled perpetrators. Well, we did hear, didn't we, recently on the Daily Nationalist that all of these gangland shootings, the leadership of all of these gangs are all of foreign extraction. All these gangs are being led by people that have moved into the country very, very recently. They're not being led by Swedes at all. Until recently, Sweden's Crime Prevention Agency had not offered a comprehensive look at the issue since 2005. In October, however, the agency acknowledged that Sweden ranks very high in homicides when compared with other European nations, with a murder rate of 4 million as opposed to the continent's 1.6 million. So twice as likely to be a victim of murder in Sweden than you are elsewhere on the continent of Europe. I mean, that's just shocking, isn't it, that it's got so much violence there now. And as they say here, when you look at the figures that are carrying out these violent crimes, they are all of foreign extraction. In 2020, Swedish sociology professor Goran Adamson published a crime study showing an unmistakable link to immigration. It concluded that from 2002 to 2017, 58% of criminal suspects in Sweden were immigrants. That figure rose for murder, attempted murder, and manslaughter, where immigrants were identified as suspects in 73% of the cases, and robberies, in which immigrants were suspects in 70%. Of the cases. Now you look at that and you think, well, that's very high numbers there. But the way that we should be looking at it, and this is, you know, an even more shocking way of looking at it, is that 58% of murders would not have taken place in Sweden if it wasn't for the immigration rate. 73% of robberies would not have taken place in Sweden if it wasn't for the immigration policy of the government. That's the way you have to look at this, is that these crimes would just not be taking place if it wasn't for the government's policy. Adamson told RCI that while members of some immigrant groups, such as Vietnamese, were less prone to commit crimes compared with native Swedes, others, such as those from the Middle East and Africa, regions that account for most of the immigration to Sweden, were much more likely to do so. And again, we've known this from a long time from looking at statistics. If you're Chinese or Japanese, you're less likely to carry out crime. If you're black or non-white, you are more likely to carry out a crime. And then if you have white people in the middle. And also we can look at the IQ and we can see that Chinese-Japanese IQ is slightly higher than the white IQ, and the black and non-white IQ is slightly lower than the white IQ. And it's just something that you do often find with statistics, is that they group themselves into these three groups, basically, between Japanese, Chinese, white people, and black and non-white. Researchers in Denmark reached similar conclusions about immigration and crime. An index shows that crime in 2020 was 51% higher among male immigrants and 149% higher among male offspring with a non-Western background than among the entire male population. I mean, that's a very high figure there, isn't it? 149% higher than it would normally be. In Norway and Finland too, higher incidence of crime is also found in immigrant populations, according to recent research. Similar data on the citizenship status of people arrested or in jail is rarely collected in the United States, but one state where data is collected, Texas, shows that illegal aliens are convicted of homicide 32% more frequently than the rest of the Texas population, and the rate for sexual assault is 91% higher. Again, just remember, all of these crimes would not be taking place if it wasn't for the slack immigration policy of the governments. Shootings in Sweden have begun to spill out from Stockholm into smaller cities and towns, although, as in the US, they tend to be concentrated in certain neighbourhoods, neighbourhoods like Malmö. In that sense, immigrants are most often the victims, as well as the perpetrators of much of the growing violence. And if they're making up, say, 75% of the population there, well, of course, they're going to be making up the majority of the victims, because they are a majority minority in that area. Over the last decades, those who commit crimes are increasingly clustered both geographically and socially, Adamson's study found. The risk of ending up as a crime victim is getting more and more unevenly distributed. Such findings have percolated through Scandinavian political debates, with candidates on the right making rising crime a centerpiece of their 2022 campaigns. On the progressive left, critics tend to dismiss such statistical studies as racist. And of course, this is also very encouraging, isn't it? That because in Sweden, the alternative media there drew attention to this increase in crime that was associated with the increase in immigration. And because of that, they were able to get in these right-wing parties and hopefully do something about this. I mean, it bears out that this is what we're doing here at Radio Albion. We're trying to draw attention to these issues so that we can get changes made at the government level to make life better for everyone. And, you know, this just proves this, doesn't it? Because that's what they did in Sweden, and they were able to get these right-wing parties in, the same as in Italy. It's not about telling people about the high crime rate because you want to encourage violence against non-whites. I mean, what would be the benefit in doing that? How is that going to improve the situation? How is that going to change the government immigration policy? It's not going to do anything at all apart from make nationalists look bad. So that is not the reason why we talk about these issues. Swedish officials have sought to deflect attention from the findings, with the Foreign Ministry pointing out in September that most immigrants are not criminals. Yet at the same time, they insisted immigrants were not responsible for surging crime reports. They acknowledged that non-native-born people were suspected of crimes at a rate 2.5 times higher than native-born Swedes. So they say out of one corner of their mouth, it's not linked with immigrant or immigration. And then out the other side of their mouth, they admit that it's 2.5 times higher. Voters have reacted accordingly. Until this year, the Social Democratic Party had dominated politics in Sweden, ruling for almost a half a century from 1932 to 1976 and holding power again from 2014 to 2022. But it was toppled in September when voters elected a right-of-centre coalition made up of the right-wing Sweden Democrats and other right-of-centre parties. Alf Kristofferson, the leader of the Moderate Party, was named Prime Minister on October 17th. And it really should have been a representative of the Sweden Democrats that was made into prime minister, because it was the Sweden Democrats that came second. But because there is still this stigma attached to the Sweden Democrats and to nationalist politicians in general, they were forced not to have their representative from the Sweden Democrats made into prime minister, just so that they could form a coalition. They had to accept somebody else being prime minister. In his study, Adamson urged Swedes to take a clear-eyed approach to what is happening, arguing that viewing things through a politically sensitive, multicultural lens clouds the picture and undermines policy approaches that could address the problem. So we have to stop being politically correct about these things. We have to talk about these problems. You can talk about these problems without inciting hate against people. You're just talking about pattern recognition and statistics, and you're talking about bringing in policies that are going to improve the lives of everyone. I mean, as it says here, you've got an increase in the numbers of non-whites that are the victims of crime as well. And it's being carried out by these other non-whites, but if you didn't have so much immigration, there would be less of a crime problem for the non-whites that are already here. Social democratic views of the 1960s are now considered far right wing, a psychological trauma, as if straight out of an Ingmar Bergman movie, Adamson wrote, adding that anti-intellectualism has defined Swedish migration discourse for decades. And that is the same everywhere in the white world, isn't it? As soon as you start talking about pattern recognition and statistics, the name calling starts and you get called a white supremacist and a racist and a Nazi, and you must just want to kill all the Jews, when all you're really trying to do is just draw attention to social problems that you can see a very simple solution for. And that's why we draw attention to this, and that's why we have organisations like Patriotic Alternative in Britain, so we can have a community of like-minded folk that can put pressure on local government and elsewhere in order to enact policies that are going to be of benefit to the indigenous people of Britain. And we can see that this method works, doesn't it? Because in Sweden there, after drawing attention to all these problems with the alternative media, now they have this this right-wing coalition in power. Whether they will be able to completely reverse the problems that they have in Sweden is another matter. But at least they have succeeded in getting this political change off the ground. Well, thank you very much for listening. We will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.